Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means go out into the deep. A one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Rita Hauck Lane, and I'm your host for the next hour. I hope you'll hang in here with me and join me as we seek to go deeper into the riches of life with Jesus Christ. Sometimes I say that it's the abundant life, but that term might get a little old after a while, even though it's a spectacular word, abundance, abundance, abundance. But so I'm changing it for today to diving deeper into the riches of life with Jesus Christ. I keep thinking about when Jesus was, when Peter and James and John and all of them had been out, and Andrew had been out fishing all night and caught nothing. And then, they pull in, they're cleaning their nets and everything. They were giving up in the morning. And Jesus told them, go back out, try again. And of course, they didn't want to do it because they're tired, thought it would be a waste of time. However, Peter said, okay, since I'm just going to trust and go. And so when life is like that. Without Jesus, things can be a little sparse, you know. But with Jesus, there's a lot of really wonderful things that happen, even in the midst of sorrow and challenges. So I just want to encourage you to live life with Jesus. And we're going to be together for the next hour, and I welcome you and thank you for listening. I don't know about you, but I'm really loving this weather. This is my favorite, this time of year and in the fall, when it's not too hot and not too cold. Of course, it's going to be pretty hot soon. So summer is here, y'all, and but the weather is lovely right now, and it lifts my spirits. It makes a difference to me when it's a sunny, beautiful day than a cloudy, yucky day. It's still a good day, but I don't feel as uplifted as a sunny day. You'll laugh because when I first moved here, I had never lived anywhere with gloomy days that would stretch on for weeks or months or whatever. And so, I had grown up mostly in Florida, and then I moved to Southern California, and I was there for years, and then I came here because I love four seasons, but I didn't realize how gloominess would affect me. So my doctor suggested that I go to a tanning booth a couple of times a week to get the feel of as if I were getting sunshine, and it really did work, but I had to do it for two winters, I think it was, because it was very difficult, and just never experienced anything like that. So you got to do what you got to do. And I listened to my doctor and he got me through it fine. And I don't have a problem with it now, but I don't like it to be cloudy and overcast for days without snow or rain or something. So anyway, I love this weather. I hope you're enjoying it too. I hope it lifts your spirits as well. Today, I'd like to start with what I've talked to you about before, a sacrifice of praise. Scripture in the Bible talks many, many, many times about a sacrifice of praise. And I wanted to, and sacrifice, as you know, is something you do maybe if in the midst of being very busy and don't feel like you have time to do it. Or it's going to cost you. And you don't really want to give up, So I love reading the Psalms because it really also. It's like sunshine in your soul. Because there's a psalm for every kind of emotion. And one of the things you need to remember, though, is like the psalmist, whether it was David or someone else, a lot of times they talk about the enemies. I've been saved from my enemies, or my enemies have overcome me. And that can be a real a person who's an enemy, who has really, made life difficult. But it also can refer to the evil one and all the challenges that he throws at us. And so just remember that when you're praying the Psalms. But anyway, I'm going to pray just a few verses from Psalms 145. And I just ask you to, like, quiet yourself and listen to it and pray it along with me, okay? And this is a praise of David, our dear, dear David. I will extol you, my God and King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and worthy of the highest praise. No one can even begin to comprehend his greatness. Each generation will praise your works to the next and proclaim your mighty deeds. People will proclaim the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will speak of the power of your awesome deeds, and I will relate your greatness. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and sing joyfully of your saving justice. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in kindness. The Lord is good to all, showing compassion to every creature. You know, it's interesting. You read a lot of things in Scripture that talk about every creature. They're not speaking just of human beings. Francis of Assisi, he preached to creatures, to the birds and the animals, because the Bible said about preaching to every land and every creature. You know, so he took that literally, and he did that, and he was a great friend of the animals. They really responded to him. So anyway, that's all we're going to pray of that psalm today, but we ask the Lord to bless our time together and to be pleased with our sacrifice of praise we gave him. And then we'll just get started. You've probably heard this quite a few times, but I want to repeat it because it's something that keeps happening, keeps being brought up over and over and over again. It's in Scripture. It's being talked about throughout the world in Catholic Christian radio, TV. Kathleen speaks about it. I've spoken about it, but a lot of people speak about it. And that is no accident. It's not just a coincidence that you are alive right now. You were created for such a time as this. And some people don't like the times. And I understand that. But we were created for these times. When I was younger, before I became Catholic and before I understood all of the riches available to we believers, I've always loved old movies, and from like 50, 60 years ago. Not silent movies, but things like It's a Wonderful Life and The Bishop's Wife. Not just Christmas, but a lot of those oldie movies I love, because times were different. And I used to think, oh, I was born at the wrong time. I should have been born back then, because I really just love lifestyle back then. But then I realized, no, the Lord put me here and you here for just such a time as this. You and I are needed be a force of good and light in the world right now. You and I are born for this. And he has chosen to have us live in this time. It's a tough time. There's a lot of things going on. But there's been tough times all through history. And those people were born at that time to bring about the beauty and light of Christ in those times. So be encouraged that for such a time as this, we are here. So what does that mean? What does that mean? Each day when we wake up, do we say, okay, Lord, use me for such a time as this. You put me here. I want to be here in the way that you want me to be. I want to do and say and live to be that blessing for such a time as this. Show me the way. Okay. You know, it's very interesting how even I get this way sometimes, how shocked and surprised we are by what's going on in the world. You know, Jesus himself said, don't be surprised. These things are going to happen. And they don't just happen at the end of time. They've happened all throughout history. And multiple times. You know, he said there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be floods and earthquakes and sickness and persecution. If you're a believer, to be persecuted is following in his footsteps. And he said it was going to happen. You know, he said, take heart. I've overcome those things of the world. Yeah, you might have to suffer for a while, but don't worry. I'm with you always, even in the darkest moments. And you were born for this. With his grace and help and support, especially if you're Catholic, the Holy Eucharist, confession, the Word of God, the saints, all of these treasures we have to lift us up and support us in such a time as this. So don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. This is supposed to be happening. It's sad, though. It shouldn't be happening. If we were living the way, the truth, and the life that Jesus brought for us to live, these things wouldn't be happening. But he knew they would because we wouldn't as a world. So don't be surprised. Today, I was listening, I was cleaning, and I was listening to Father Ricardo's YouTube message this morning. I don't remember when it was taped or videoed, I mean, but I was listening to it, and he said some things that I want to share with you, because they're similar to some of the things that I've said already, and I always take heart when that happens, because I feel like if I'm hearing it from someone else, then I must be hearing something, at least partially, from the Lord that is supposed to be shared. So I want to share with you what he was talking about today. But I want to start with something that I quoted a few weeks ago, and it's from Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, this is St. Paul, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Think about such things. In this day and age, I'm not sure how much we're following that advice. I'm not sure how much we are keeping our eyes on Christ instead of the storm. It's almost like a pandemic of unsettledness, worry, anxiety, anger. So I just want to encourage you not to go that path anymore. Let's say to the evil one to get away from us. We want to focus on what Jesus told us to do in the storms, what he has provided for us to do and to know to keep us going, you know. But anyway, that goes along with what Father Ricardo said. You know, he was getting ready to do a conference, and some of the people that were working with him on that conference, they were all meeting before the conference began, and it kept coming to them to tell the people two words: stop complaining. All right? Stop complaining. If you read the Old Testament, a number of times the Lord would rescue the chosen people, the Jewish people, and they would be so happy. But, you know, a little difficulty would come up, and it would last more than a day, and they would start grumbling and complaining. And the Lord took that very personally. He said, you know, he told, for instance, Moses, the people are complaining against me when they complain against you, Moses. Jesus said to St. Paul, when he knocked him upside the head, he said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Because he was persecuting believers. God takes it personally when we complain. Not that we can say and we can discuss things with him. We can pour out our hearts to him. That's different. But when we're sitting around a table with friends or something, all we're doing is complaining, and we're leaving him out of the picture. When it's constant, constant, constant complaining, which is a real problem these days, instead of realizing that he is in control, no matter how it looks. So I want to keep going with what Father Ricardo said. But first of all, stop complaining, I say, especially in public. Especially in public. This can have horrifying effects. All right. Jim Wahlberg, who just created the Jesus Thirst film, I listened to his witness on The Journey Home on YouTube. If you haven't watched it, watch it. And he had a profound conversion experience because of watching and experiencing live Mother Teresa and a really awesome priest who kind of adopted him and everything. He had a reversion to his real, to the Catholic Church and his childhood faith that was really never embraced. And he was doing really, really well until a priest scandal came in. And because the press and everyone was all upset so much that that's all they could talk about was negative, negative, negative. And if you know any of the details about it, it was horrible. And I'm sure there's still some of that going around. And it wasn't taken care of, according to today's science, properly. But at the time, they thought they were doing right things by moving these priests and getting them away from their victims and that sort of thing, that would cure them, but it didn't. And so it was a horrible thing. However, it was a very, very small number of priests. But all of the priests starting being that were around now were starting to be criticized, looked down upon, spit upon as if they were all guilty. And this upset Jim Wahlberg so much that he fell away from the church again. And he didn't know what to think. He was distressed. So be careful what you say around other people. You don't know how strong their faith is. Because yes, that was a horrible thing, but it's even worse to walk away from Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, to walk away from Jesus and the Christian community. Please be careful what you say in public. I was at a club that my husband and I belong to at the Jersey Shore. This was not in the summer. It was probably fall. And there was a table of women behind us. And they were having a really wonderful time. They were laughing, and it was kind of a girls' weekend kind of thing. And my husband and I were sitting there, and I love to talk to people who are happy, so to speak. And I turned around and said, "Hey, you girls are having too much fun without me." And they said, "Oh, well, come and join us." I said, "Well, no, I can't, but I'm really enjoying hearing your laughter." And so they were laughing and stuff. And then I started hearing, one of them started complaining about the Catholic Church. She started talking about how proud she was of being, going to confession and basically standing up to the priest and giving him the business and all this sort of thing. And it broke my heart because, you know, when we do that, we're really cutting ourselves off from a heck of a lot of grace. And the priest said to her, "Wow, you do your own thing, don't you? You believe what you want. You're a cafeteria Catholic, which means you pick and choose what you believe." And she goes, "You're darn right, I do." You know, and she was just so gleeful about that. And the other women were kind of, they knew her very well, and might have been a relative, and they were saying, "Well, you know, you might want to rethink that." You know, they weren't mean or judgmental or anything, but it was really, it broke my heart. I couldn't stand to sit there and not say anything, and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, because I didn't want to, you don't want to criticize someone. You want to lovingly tell them, or somehow, what's going on. So basically, I prayed about it, we ate, and they were still there and having a very nice time. And I went over to them and I said, "I think you guys are all women, are all Catholic." And they said, "Yeah, we are." And I said, "Well, I happen to believe that we are the most blessed people in the world. And we are very, very, very blessed. And it fills me with joy to be Catholic. And it's just made me very happy to be sitting there and hearing your joy and the few little things that you've been talking about your faith and everything. But we are the most blessed women, people in the world, because we have so many riches available to us. And I just thank you for being so joyful at this time." And they said, "Oh, well, you know, thanks, you know," and we were all happy, all right. And the woman who had been complaining, was very quiet and kind of looked down at the table. I didn't say a word to her. And so we're walking on our way out of the club, and this woman from that group runs over to me, and she says, "I know that you pray. I can tell. I'm going to ask you to pray. The reason we're in here is because our friend's husband died suddenly, and we're out here trying to encourage her and support her. And we were having fun, but it was a very sad reason we're here. And will you please keep her and her family in her prayers?" It's like, holy wow. Of course. Of course. And she gave me the name, and of course I did. But just be careful, you know, like this woman, she's saying these things in public loud enough for other people to hear. And other people are going to hear this, and it's going to discourage them from going, from being all that they could be in the Catholic Church. And so just be careful. Just be careful. You know, people need to hear positive things from Christians. You know, if we're going to discuss these difficulties, discuss it with faith and with hope and with, you know, Jesus Christ. Without saying his name, you can say that, you know, we know that these things are supposed to happen. It says it in the Bible, and so we're not shocked by it, and we have every hope that we will all work together to bring peace and joy back to each other's lives. You know, there's all kinds of ways to have that attitude. It's the attitude more than it's actually the words. You know, last night I was out to dinner with others, and the conversation kept reverting to politics and negative subjects. It's almost like we don't have lives anymore. That all we can talk about is politics and negativity and what's wrong with the world. Why can't we talk about the joys of life? Do we not have any anymore? If we don't have joy in this life, how pitiful and sad that is. You know, before all of these political games and things started happening a few years ago, and COVID, of course. Good excuse, COVID. You know, we'd get together and we would laugh and joke and we talk about, you know, a movie we saw or TV or friends we visited with, a new family baby. We talk about all these wonderful things. And now it's like over and over and over again. It's a constant barrage of politics and negative subjects. You don't hear good, you don't hear happy stuff. And that's pitiful. Because that is a complaint to God. You know, we're supposed to be filled with gratitude. And if we focus on these negative things all the time, there's no joy in life. And He came to make our joy complete. The Holy Spirit brings faith, love, hope, joy, peace, contentment. So many wonderful things, and we're not living in that. You know, and there's ways to do that. So, Father Ricardo, he was very blunt about it. He said that, stop complaining. And he said, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Live like it. Pray like it. Talk like it. Think like it. In other words, live like Jesus is the Lord. Pray like Jesus is the Lord. Talk like Jesus is the Lord. And think like Jesus is the Lord. Live this way as His followers, His disciples. Okay? So, we're going to continue to talk about this, but one more thing I want to say. Fear not. Don't have fear is in the Bible 365 times. Isn't that weird? It's true, though. Fear not is in the Bible 365 times, once for every day of the year. The Lord is trying to reassure us that no matter what is happening, He's with us. Fear not. Have faith. Okay, if you have a hard time with fear, anxiety, anger, and frustration, get your computer or your phone out and Google. I've told you this before. Google fear not scriptures in the Bible where they say fear not. Google encouraging scriptures from the Bible. Google, or search for, I should say, Bible verses that are uplifting about joy, about all the things that you want to be reading to counteract the fears, the anxiety, the worries, the news. Trust me, it works. God's Word is powerful and living. It is not a dead book. I have had experience with it. I know people that have had experience with it. So please do that. I'm going to take a break in a couple of seconds, and I'm going to ask you to please come back, and I'll keep talking about this, and then I want to cover a little bit more about the Gospel of Mark. Okay, so don't go away. Thanks for staying with me so far. God bless.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Hello, I'm back. Rita Hauk Lane here, your host for the next half hour. Thanks for standing in here with me. And I just want to, if you just joined us, we were talking about Father Ricardo, some of his advice for us today, which goes along with some of the things that I've been trying to encourage you with for a while. And he said, you know, stop complaining, because Jesus is Lord. Live like Jesus is the Lord. Pray like Jesus is the Lord. Talk like Jesus is the Lord. Think like Jesus is the Lord. And live this way as his followers and his disciples. And then I said, fear not, is in the Bible 365 days, once for every day of the year. And there's a reason for that. Because we have a tendency to fear, to complain, to worry. And so the Lord wants to ease that by telling us, "Fear, don't fear, be not afraid, fear not," etc. And I told you, last year, I think it was, that I had had an experience at Malvern Retreat House. I had gone there for an Advent retreat, and I was working with some young ladies and teenagers in Chester, and we called it the year from hell, and I went there, we all went there for a retreat, and went down to the grotto and was just pouring my heart out to the Lord. And he basically said, "Hey, you know, if you have more faith in the evil that's in the world and the outside influences on these girls to, you know, do them harm, then faith in me and my love for them and what I'm doing for them, then why are you there?" And I say that to you because it changed my life when he said that to me, because that applies to everything, not just troublesome teens, all right? In other words, do we have more faith in the evil of the world than in the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the Lord of light, hope, healing, and love? If we have more faith in the evil in the world than the Lord, we need to examine that, okay? Because I took my eyes off of the Lord and put them on the storm. Oh, we prayed all the time. We planned all the time. We taught them all these good things and everything, but our hearts had forgotten that the Lord loves them more than we do. That the Lord has a plan for good. And that even if they go through troubled things, he's still there with them. And that's the same with us. That's the same in the whole world. He's still there with us. So I want to encourage you, have faith in Jesus is Lord, like Father Ricardo said. Jesus is Lord. Let's live like it. Let's take that to the bank. Not be in denial of the hardships, not be present to those who need help, but to know that behind all of this is the Lord. And we can trust that. And he says, ask the Lord. We don't feel like it? Okay, well, ask the Lord to give us confidence in him, confidence in his lordship, the ability to be able to say that he is our Lord. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, we don't ask enough. We don't pray enough. Time and time and time again in Scripture, the Lord says, ask and it will be given to you. If it is his holy will, what you're asking for, you will be given it. And to have confidence in him, in his lordship, in his love for us, in his care for us, asking for those things, we will be given them. It's promised. It's promised. And I want to read to you, because a lot of our Christian life is about the Holy Spirit. Listening, hearing him, responding to him, cooperating with him, and allowing him to show us the love of God and to grow us in our faith. And so here's from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 11, verse 13. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Okay? Just as John taught his disciples. And then Jesus goes on to teach them how to pray. And then later on in that chapter, he's talking about, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. He's talking about if you are asking for something and needing something that is according to God's will, it will be given to you. All right. And it says here, which of you fathers, if your sons ask for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, in other words, you're not God, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Ask, ask, ask. That's what we need to do. Ask and trust. He has promised it. He will do it. Right. So perhaps you're not a believer. Perhaps you're someone who's questioning or seeking and don't know really what to think about all this. Ask him. I can't tell you how many people I know that didn't believe. Didn't believe in God, didn't believe in Jesus Christ, didn't believe. Who decided to give him a chance and prayed, hey, if you exist, if you're out there, please, I want to know you. I mean, I already don't think you're there, but if you are there, please, let me know. Somehow, let me know. Show yourself to me somehow. Reveal yourself. And I can't tell you how many people I know that have prayed that prayer and it has been answered. So if you're wondering and you're not sure, or if you're a believer and you're having a tough time because something has upset you or disappointed you, or if you've lost someone you love or whatever, please, please pour your heart out to the Lord and say, please show me you're with me, please. And then look around you. Look around. Don't walk blindly through this life. Look around. Make me aware of when you are ministering to me, Lord. Make me aware when you're here. Okay. Father goes on to say, well, just as Jesus was aware of the state of the world when he was on his way to his crucifixion and resurrection, his passion, death, and resurrection, he was aware in advance. He knew it all. He knew what was coming. He knew why. He knew the hearts of the people around him. It was really, really sad because... Oh, I'm going to talk about that later. I'm sorry. He knew what was coming. And so, therefore, it was all part of a plan. He already knew about it. It was all part of a plan. And it wasn't good things. It appeared to be horrible to those around him who loved him, who were his disciples. And the people turned on him. And the temple leaders, I mean, everyone turned against him except for his mother. And John and Mary Magdalene and a couple of other disciples. Everybody else ran or just flat out turned on him. But it was part of a, it was also part of a plan. It wasn't the ideal way that he would have wanted it to happen. But that's what's happening now. There are things happening that are somehow, some way, he knows they're happening. He knows what's going on. He's allowing certain things to happen with the hopes that we will turn from our wickedness. And he's also allowing some things to happen because they have to happen before he comes back. And it's sad and horrible, but it is what it is. He knows what's happening. He is Lord. And Father Ricardo said, everything that you see, that we experience is in the palm of Jesus' hands. Everything is in the palm of Jesus' hands. Truly believe it, trust in it, and be his light of beauty, truth, goodness, healing, and love in this very dark world. See, there's a lot of people that are really lost because of they have no hope. They don't know that there is a way, a truth, and a life that actually works, that actually gives us hope and joy in the midst of sorrows. So we need to have that, to accept it from the Lord, and to live it and be that for other people. They need that beauty. They need that truth. They need that goodness, healing, and love that only comes from Jesus Christ. And we can be those vessels. That's our mission. Okay. So, if you're around people who are really negative all the time, try to limit your time with them. And try to change. I'm not saying walk away. Heaven forbid, never. But try to change the subject. Try to infuse some light into those conversations. Doesn't always work. Believe me, I have tried that. But anyway, don't give up. Don't give up. Good always triumphs over evil. So keep at it. Keep at it. And thank the Lord that we can be those vessels of beauty and light. You know, and ask the Lord to send vessels of beauty and light to us, to yourself, because we need it too. We can't all be just out there warriors and never getting some encouragement ourselves. And you'll get it if you go to Mass too. You're gonna get it through the Word of God, through praising and worshiping Him, which pleases Him. The Bible says He lives in the praises of His people. That's how important it is to praise Him and to worship Him. And especially in community. We have the sacraments, we have the Word of God, we have preaching and homilies, we have beautiful music. So give it a chance. Okay, I want to change the subject. I hope I've encouraged you through that. But we have a few minutes left, and I'd like to go back to the Gospel of Mark, We studied it at our parish, and I want to encourage you with some of the things that we learned and that stood out when we were studying it. First of all, the Gospel of Mark is all about saying that Jesus is the Son of God and proving it. It's a shorthand version of all the other Gospels, and it's really like to the point. No minced words. And, you know, in it, we left off last week where the Pharisees had asked Jesus, it was in chapter 10 of the Gospel of Mark, the Pharisees had asked Jesus if it was lawful for a man to divorce his wife. And, you know, Jesus addressed that. He said because of the hardness of the men's hearts, Moses had allowed them to divorce women, their wives. And that was actually for the good of the wife. The wife, if she was divorced and if her husband just left her and did not give her divorce papers, then she could not remarry and she could not be taken care of, you know, because women had to be taken care of back then financially. Financially, obviously they could take care of themselves, but financially. And it was a very sad existence. They were basically outcasts. So Moses allowed them, the men, to give a letter of divorce so she could take that with her and could remarry or could uphold her status in society without suffering so much because she was the innocent party and the letter proved that. Okay. But, you know, Jesus says it was never supposed to be that way. God, from the very beginning with Adam and Eve, it was man and woman were supposed to marry, and the two would become one. In God's eyes, they are one. They are not two separate individuals anymore. And we have lost that. This is Jesus talking. You know, what God has put together, man should not divide again. So it's not right to be divorced. You know, yet we have all over the world decided that we know better than Jesus. That because we're not happy about something or another, we're just giving up. We're not gonna work at it anymore. And in today's world, you know, a lot of young people have been told that, hey, if it doesn't feel good anymore, or you're not happy 24/7 anymore, then you should have never been married in the first place, so get rid of that person. No, I'm sorry, that's not the way it works. All right. And I was very, very blessed that I went through RCIA at St. Pius in 1998-99. And there was a wonderful couple there who were teaching about marriage in RCIA. And they were an older couple. They'd been married, I think, like 50 years or something like that. And they came in to tell us about the phases of marriage. One of the most profound things that I had ever heard in my life. I wish I'd written it all down and could tell you what all the different things that they taught me. And I took it to heart, and I'm so glad I did. Because every marriage has challenges. It's part of life. It's part of life. You know, you can be like so angry today. And for a whole year or something like that. And then all of a sudden, something good can come from it. You know, but if you give up in the tough times, you don't get that goodness that can come from hanging in there. And they talked about, you know, when you're newlywed, you're engaged and you're newlywed, you know, it's like, you know, reality is there, but it's like, you know, everything that your spouse, that you and your spouse are experiencing as a whole is very upbeat. You have your dreams, you're working together, you're planning the future. There's so much hope, so many dreams and thrills. It's filled with a lot of joy, a lot of joy. And then, you know, if God so deems it, you have children. And that's a very challenging time, and it's a time that you have to be aware that there's things you need to do in those years as a couple. You shouldn't argue in front of the children. you should agree on certain values that you want to raise your children in advance. How you want to raise your children, make those decisions in advance and then stick to them. You need to absolutely remain a couple. You need to have date nights without the children. You need to have time as a couple to stay a couple instead of being just parents 24/7. When you are just parents 24/7, your love for each other and connection with each other can really suffer when you focus so much time on the children. Okay, and they said, so you must stay a couple. It must be a huge priority. You don't neglect the children, but you have date nights on a regular basis. You go away for a weekend or something together. Those kind of things are essential. Then once your children are grown and they go off to college, you have that empty nest syndrome. So you have to learn how to live life without children under the roof. That's very challenging. All of these stages are challenging, but they can be beautiful and filled with joy at the same time if you tackle it together and look at the good and plan good things for those challenging times. And then, of course, you go into your children are getting married and they have their own lives, and then you're getting into middle age and the challenge of middle age of, you know, maybe you're not as young as you used to be physically. You know, there's challenges at middle age. That's why sometimes, you know, people say they have a middle age crisis because they thought they would be further, happier then, or accomplish more then, or have more then, or you know, just a number of things that they look at, you can look at in a negative way instead of looking at what you do have and working together. Okay, I'm not happy with this particular thing that I haven't accomplished, or we haven't done at this by this age. Let's work towards accomplishing that together. All right. Then, you know, you get older and you end up with the challenges of sickness or infirmities or dementia or whatever. And, you know, before that, though, you know, my friends, they hadn't gotten to the older ages yet. They were on their way. They had a lot of health problems, but they were madly in love because they had stuck it out. They had gone through all those challenges together and didn't give up. It wasn't easy. It's never easy, but it's worth it, they said. They said, if you go through all of that together, sometimes you hate each other, sometimes you give up, but don't stop. They said, but, you know, as time goes on, through those different stages, you start to see all these wonderful reconciliations, all these wonderful challenges met and conquered together. And it was such a powerful witness, such a powerful witness. I have never wanted to give up on my marriage, no matter what, because of that witness of that couple. And they were right. They were right. Stick it together. Stick it out. Work on it together. Will to love each other. Because love is not an emotion. Love is a thing that has been willed by you to work on and to feed with good things. So I just wanted to share that with you because it was so amazing. So amazing, and it's true. The Lord has said, basically, the church teaches that when a couple gets married, you get married in the church, or you get married, if you're not Catholic, and you get married by a pastor in front of the Lord, with vows to the Lord, not just at the justice of the peace, although that's you know, better than nothing. It's you get married in the church, in a church. There's three people involved in that wedding. The husband, the wife, and the Lord. There's extreme grace that comes from that. The Lord is with you for the rest of your marriage if you seek his face, if you ask him to be with you. So, and he will be. It's his will that your marriage survive and thrive. And so he will help make that happen if you ask and if you're determined. And sometimes we're unequally yoked. We have a spouse who doesn't believe or who isn't committed. Well, you do your part, and then hopefully they'll come around. And if they don't, you've done your part, and they have to live with their lack and what they have done for the rest of their lives and not have a clear conscience. But you've done your part, and you've stuck it out. So don't give up. Don't give up. Scripture even talks about a loving, faithful spouse who can greatly influence an unbelieving spouse. So keep at it and don't give up. The Lord is good. Jesus is Lord. Let's live like it. Let's believe it. All right. So the last thing briefly is Jesus talks, you know, the little children come to Jesus. The parents are bringing them to him to experience him. And some of them were coming to be healed, bring their children to be healed. But they wanted their children to be with him. And the disciples were saying, oh, get those noisy kids away from here. You know, I'm, you know, ad-libbing. But they didn't want them, the children there, because they were interfering with Jesus' preaching and teaching with the adults and the healing of the adults. And Jesus said, no, 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 let the children come to me. He loved children. And so, you know, sometimes when we're at Mass, at church, there's children running around, being loud, crying, doing things that you wish they wouldn't do. But, you know, I'm going to share with you next week Jesus' attitude about that. But I wanted to basically thank you with all of my heart for giving me the opportunity to visit with you today. It has been an absolute joy. Anytime we talk about the joy of the Lord, it makes me thrilled. So I want to thank you for that. I want to encourage you to never, ever give up on him. No matter how much you think he's given up on you, he has not. He never will. And you can count on that. You can take that to the bank. You really can. He loves you unbelievably so much. And he willed that you be alive. He created you for now. He created you so you would know him and live with him and in the world be a healing, beautiful force in union with other Christians. So please, don't give up. Please read your Bible. Please go to church. Please trust him. Put yourself in his hands and he will take care of you. And you know what? We Catholics know that Our Lady, Mary, his mother, is a powerful prayer. So ask her to pray for you too. Even if you're not Catholic, trust me, it will be a good thing. Okay, so God bless you. Thank you for being here. Please continue to offer your prayers for us and your contributions that keep us going. We're doing something beautiful for God together. We can't do it without you. God bless you. Hope to see you and talk with you again next Monday at 5:00. Take care. Bye-bye.